We're moving to question time. Senator Wong.
Thank you, President. I seek leave to make a statement concerning ministerial arrangements.
Is leave granted? Leave is granted.
I thank the Senate, and if you may indulge me, I also particularly thank Senator Farrell for leading the government in my absence most ably, and Senator Watt also for representing so many portfolios. I advise changes to ministerial arrangements. Senator Gallagher will be absent from question time today and tomorrow for personal reasons. In Senator Gallagher's absence, Senator Farrell and I will represent portfolios at question time in accordance with the letter circulated to the President and party leaders and independent senators. I thank
you, Senator Wong. We'll now move to question time. Senator Scar.
Thank you, Madam President. Welcome back, Senator Wong, but my question is to Senator Farrell, representing the Treasurer. Minister, having had a further 24 hours to prepare, following the question of Senator McGrath yesterday, can you now put on the Senate record the precise definition of mortgage stress?
Senator Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Scar, for your question. Look, the observation I made yesterday when Senator Birmingham threw again, I raise the question, what's the point? What's the point of you asking me questions when you already have the answer and you've prepared the answer? But look, the reality of the situation is that lots and lots of Australians are now facing mortgage stress. There's no doubt about it. No, we're not disputing that fact. We understand that ordinary Australians, particularly as a result of that decision earlier in the week by the Reserve Bank to increase the mortgage rates by 0.25%. And I see the banks have already been quick to implement that increase. We understand the issues that Australians are facing. And as I've said to you in just about every single question that I answered yesterday, we are trying to put downward pressure on inflation and on cost of living. And one of the ways, of course, we're doing that was by that budget surplus.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Scar, first supplementary.
Minister, I know you refer to lots and lots of Australians facing mortgage stress. I'm wondering if you could be a little bit more precise. How many Australians are actually facing mortgage stress, and how many more Australians will face mortgage stress as a result of the interest rate rise this week?
Thank you, Senator Scar. Minister Farrell.
Look, the truth of the matter is that the Reserve Bank is an independent organisation in this country. It was independent under your government. It's independent under our government. It makes decisions which obviously have an impact on the lives of ordinary Australians. There's not one person in the Labor government that wants to see interest rates going up.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Birmingham.
President, a point of order on direct relevance, and this is quite remarkable. This is the minister representing the Treasurer. He was yesterday also the minister representing the Treasurer. He was asked for this data yesterday. He was unable to give the data yesterday, but it's inconceivable that somewhere in his briefing, somewhere in his pack, he wouldn't have the specific data Senator Scar has requested. And I ask you to draw him to the particular question, not a lesson on Reserve Bank independence.
thank you, Senator Farrell. I will remind the Minister of your question. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. Look, I don't think it helps those Australians who are now finding it difficult to make repayments, that you seek to get some political either advantage or some political satisfaction. Satisfaction out of the difficulties that ordinary Australians are
now
facing.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Scar, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Despite being asked the same question today as he was asked yesterday, I note the Minister can't or won't confirm for the Senate the number of Australian families experiencing mortgage stress under your government. Will the Albanese Labor government take responsibility for its role in skyrocketing mortgage stress and apologise to these Australian families?
I thank you, Senator Scar. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Scar for his second supplementary supplementary question. What the Albanese government will do is what they've been doing, what we've been doing since we came to office, which is trying to put downward pressure on inflation. Of course, it's worth noting that the first increase in interest rates was under your government, and of course, as a result of the economic incompetence of your government. But we're putting downward pressure. What are some of the things we're doing? Well, childcare, trying to put downward pressure on childcare costs, which you opposed. Electricity. Putting caps on gas prices, again trying to push down the cost of electricity. When you had no policies in this area, making sure people.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Ciccone.
Thanks a lot, President. And my question is to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Senator Wong.
Oh, he'll be here.
Good to see you back, Minister. I note the. Told you I'd get it fired up.
All right, order. Senator, please continue. Senator.
Thanks a lot, President. And on that note, Minister, I note that you returned after visiting China with the Prime Minister and visiting Japan, one of our closest partners in the region. This week, I couldn't happen but to turn on the radio and read many newspapers and see without praise of the Albanese government's exceptional effort to stabilise our relationship with China. Now, can the minister please inform the Senate about the government's approach to Australia's relationship with our largest trading partner?
Thank you, Senator Ciccone. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, and I thank Senator Ciccone for the question. I would go back to what we said we would do before the election. Before the election, we said to the Australian people that a Labor government would stabilise the relationship with China without compromising Australia's sovereign interests. Right. That's what we said we would do, and that is what we have done. That is what we have done. And Prime Minister Albanese's visit to China was the first visit by an Australian Prime Minister since 2016, and my second visit as Foreign Minister. And can I indicate that we appreciated the courtesy extended to the Prime Minister and to the Australian delegation. The visit was an opportunity to continue our calm and consistent approach with China, the same approach that is delivering progress for the Australian people, progress in the resumption of trade. And I acknowledge the work that Senator Farrell, as Minister for Trade, has done on these matters. When it comes to trade between our two countries and barley, coal, timber logs, cotton, hay, copper ores and concentrates, Australia continues to press for the resumption of trade in wine, red meat and lobster. President, we know that the period of trade impediments was really challenging for so many Australians because trade matters to Australian jobs. And China is our most important trading partner, representing more than 25% of our exports, and one in four of our jobs relies on trade. The Australian people know that we, this government, will continue to speak out on the matters that are important to Australians, which include not only trade impediments, but Australians detained in China and human rights. I was very privileged to have the opportunity with Prime Minister Albanese to mark the 50th anniversary of the first visit to China by an Australian Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam, in 1973. His historic visit is a powerful reminder that whoever has the privilege of serving in these roles also has the responsibility to navigate this relationship wisely.
Senator Ciccone, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Now, whilst in Japan, I understand, Minister, you discussed enhanced cooperation between our two nations in a time of increased global instability, including meeting with counterparts, including the G7 Foreign Ministers meeting. Could you please, Minister, provide an insight into the strength of Australia's international relationships and why it matters for a peaceful, stable and prosperous world?
Minister Wong.
Thank you to Senator Ciccone. Well, I've often said that our world is being reshaped, and the focus of that reshaping is in our region. And what does that mean for Australia? It means that we know we cannot achieve what the region we want alone. We have to work with allies, we have to work with partners, we have to work with other nations to enhance our collective security and our prosperity. So I was privileged to visit Japan and meet with the Japanese Minister for Foreign Affairs, Minister Kamikawa, and National Security Advisor, Advisor Akiba. Australia and Japan have never been closer. We share an ambition for an Indo-Pacific which is peaceful, stable and prosperous, in which sovereignty is respected. And just as we do with other like-minded partners, I was also able to catch up with in Tokyo, including my good friend, the Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom, James Cleverly, and Canada's Foreign Minister, Melanie Joly. In these challenging times, we need to work together on regional and global challenges, particularly the Hamas-Israel conflict.
Senator Ciccone, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Overnight, G7 nations announced a unified stance on the Hamas-Israel conflict. Can the Minister please update the Senate on what the G7 foreign ministers have announced and how Australia is working with these partners to support civilians in the conflict?
Minister Wong.
Thank you, Senator Ciccone. And I know, regardless of people's political views, I think I speak for all of us to say when I say it is impossible to absorb the harrowing images in Israel and Gaza with anything less than distress and horror. Australia welcomes the G7 Foreign Minister's statement, supporting humanitarian pauses and corridors in Gaza to facilitate urgently needed assistance and civilian movement. We join with the G7 in its condemnation of Hamas's terror attacks and call for the immediate release of all hostages without preconditions. Australia also reiterates our call on Israel to observe international law and the rules of war and protect civilian life. We also join with the G7 indicating that the violence, extremist settler violence committed against Palestinians is unacceptable. It undermines security in the West Bank and threatens prospects for a lasting peace. What is notable, particularly about the G7 statement, is the aspiration that Australia shares, which is the imperative of a durable peace and a two-state solution.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired.
Senator Cash. Thank you. And my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Yesterday, the High Court overturned a 2004 judgment which has underpinned the migration policies of governments of both sides for the last two decades. The immediate consequence was to order the release from immigration detention of a non-citizen convicted of sexual intercourse with a child aged between 10 and 14 years, the victim being a 10-year-old boy. The government's own submissions made clear that the government may now need to release around 92 individuals, many of whom until now had not been permitted to enter the Australian community on character grounds. What steps is the government taking to protect the Australian community?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Wong.
Thank you, Senator Cash. Obviously, the government notes the ruling of the High Court yesterday. We are considering the implications of the judgment carefully, and we'll continue to work with authorities to ensure community safety is upheld. I'm advised that the decision of the High Court does overturn a 20-year precedent and could trigger the release of a number of people in detention. Obviously, the government will work through this decision. The individual, I am advised that the individual released following the decision of the High Court has been placed on a visa arrangement with strict conditions, as you are aware. They include various requirements in relation to reporting and personal details and other strict requirements. What I would say is this is obviously a judgment that has significant implications. I can assure the Senate that this government will continue to work with authorities and in our response to this decision to ensure the community safety, that community safety is upheld. When I'm in a position to advise further about the government's response to this decision, I will advise the Senate.
Thank you, Minister Wong. Senator Cash, first supplementary.
Thank you. And the Australian Human Rights Commission made submissions, appeared in the case and argued that the 2004 authority should be overturned. It now has been, and the plaintiff will be released. Was the Human Rights Commission's participation in this case specifically approved by the Attorney-General, and how much Commonwealth money was spent arguing for the plaintiff's release into the Australian community?
Minister Wong.
I'm not aware as to the details of the intervention in the case, nor am I aware as to whether or not the Human Rights Commission requires, as an exercise of its statutory functions, the permission of the Attorney-General. I would suggest that's probably unlikely, but I will ascertain whether in fact that is a requirement. But it is obviously an independent statutory body which is there and has been there under both parties of government to advocate within its remit. But I'd say more broadly, obviously this is a case that has overturned 20 years of precedent. We are examining it carefully, and I again assure the Senate and the Australian people that paramount in our response will be community safety.
Senator Cash, second supplementary.
Thank you. And the individual concerned was a non-citizen convicted of sexual intercourse with a child aged between 10 and 14 years, with the victim being a boy aged 10. In relation to the 92 people who may now need to be released, how many of them had been denied entry into the Australian community on character grounds? And without commenting on any specific case, what type of offences had they committed?
Thank you, Senator Cash. Minister Wong.
I don't have that information to hand, Senator Cash, and I would make this point. I understand this is a serious matter and community safety is serious. But let us also remember that this is the High Court of Australia. The High Court of Australia has made a decision which you would be bound by were you on this side. You would also be required, as this government is, to work through the implications of that decision, recognising the overturning of precedent, the arrangements which governments will have to put in place, and the implications not only for that cohort, but more generally. And I again say that this government, in dealing with this its response to this, will have front of mind the imperative of assuring the safety of the Australian community.
Thank you, Senator Cash. Senator McKim.
Thank you, President. My question is on the same topic. It's to the Minister for Immigration, the Minister representing the Minister for Immigration, Senator Watt. Minister, in light of the High Court decision yesterday that effectively ruled that indefinite immigration detention is constitutionally unlawful, and given the Solicitor General said to the High Court during the hearing that if the court rules in the way that it did, people within the scope of the ruling, and I quote from the Solicitor General, will need to be released immediately into the community. Firstly, exactly what is the government doing to comply with the implications of this decision? How many people within the scope of the ruling have been released from immigration detention since the decision was handed down? Have you now, as you must, immediately release all stateless people from immigration detention, and how many people within the scope of the ruling currently remain unlawfully in immigration detention?
Thank you, Senator McKim. Senator Watt.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Senator McKim. Obviously, Senator Wong has addressed a number of the issues contained in Senator McKim's question, but to elaborate and specifically answer Senator McKim's question, I'll come to what we're doing about those matters, but I want to reinforce the point that the government's priority is the safety of the Australian community, and we think it's very important to ensure that in managing this issue that remains front and centre. As you would know, I expect, Senator McKim, the decision of the High Court was only released yesterday afternoon. The High Court has not published its reasons for the decision yet. And as soon as we receive those reasons, we will obviously be obtaining the advice of the Solicitor General as to the implications of that decision for the other people in detention who it may affect. It is important that we receive those reasons and give it due consideration before we take the next steps that the decision would require. To my knowledge, and I emphasise to my knowledge, the only person, the only person who is affected by this decision who has been released at this point in time is the plaintiff in this particular decision. To my knowledge, none of the other people to whom the decision may relate have yet been released into the community. And as I say, we are awaiting the reasons for the decision and the Solicitor General's advice on that decision before we can make decisions about any further releases that may or may not occur. What I'd also like to say, well, we're not a government that acts on decisions that haven't had reasons released. We're not a government that acts without legal advice to underpin our actions. But what I can also say where serious offenders are released from immigration detention, state and territorial authorities are notified, and I understand that has occurred in relation to the individual who has been released.
Thank you, Minister. Senator McKim, first supplementary.
Minister, what part of the words High Court of Australia do you not understand? The ruling was abundantly clear. Where there is no real prospect of someone's removal from Australia becoming practicable in the reasonably foreseeable future, they are being unlawfully detained. Have you got an argument with the High Court of Australia ruling? And if not, why are you not getting to work now and ensuring that all people within the scope of that ruling are free from
McKim,
the unlawful immigration?
Minister Watt? Senator McKim, I advised you the time had expired. I expect you to sit down. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. Well, Senator McKim, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the case that was decided by the High Court yesterday was a case brought by one individual, and that decision of the High Court relates to that individual. The government has acted on the basis of the High Court's decision by releasing that individual into the community as required by the High Court's decision, with the protections around it in notifying state and territory authorities and all of the other protections that the community would expect. In terms of how it relates to other individuals who are in detention, we cannot act on that decision until the reasons of the court are received and we receive legal advice as to how that decision relates to the other people involved. Once we receive the High Court's reasons, which go beyond that individual plaintiff and shed light on the application of that decision to other individuals, we will take what action is required. But the case related to that one individual, and we've taken the action required in relation to that individual.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Kim, second supplementary.
Sounds like it's the vibe of it to me, President, not the actual constitution. Minister, will the government rule out trying to perpetuate indefinite immigration detention in this country by legislating its way around the High Court's decision?
Thank you, Senator McKim. Minister Watt.
Thank you, President. Well, again, Senator McKim, good governments rely on the reasons of court decisions to make decisions, and this government, being a good government, intends to do that. We also intend to seek legal advice from the Solicitor General about the implications of those reasons once they are received and how they relate to other individuals who may be affected. The government will not be introduced rushed legislation that could exacerbate legal challenges. We've already seen the consequences of that on other matters where legislation that was introduced by the former government was found to be unconstitutional. So we'll be taking a considered approach to this to make sure that whatever action is taken is legally enforceable, is bound and complies with the law, because that's what good governments do. We're not all into stunts. We're not all into grandstanding. Some of us here are here to run good governments that abide by
the
law
and
abide by the High Court.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Polly.
President, my question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Government Services, Senator Farrell. Can the Minister outline to the Senate how the Albanese government is ending robo-debt and putting people back at the centre of government services and making Australians' lives better?
Thank you, Senator Polly. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Polly. I know she's been very actively involved in the events surrounding robo-debt, and I can give you an answer to that question, Senator Polly. The MyGov platform, a piece of key national infrastructure, is the front door through which important government services are delivered to most Australians. Today, Minister Shorten announced a new advisory group that will use expert insights to ensure experts, not like what you were using, to ensure future MyGov improvements put the customer first. This follows on from another major announcement on Monday this week to immediately provide $228 million worth of funding injection to recruit 3,000 ongoing frontline and service delivery staff at Services Australia this financial year. This investment means 3,000 new recruits will join the agency in roles targeted at improving Centrelink and Medicare services. Liberal and National governments decimated frontline services by ripping thousands of staff out of Services Australia, leading to increasing call times and processing delays. The Albanese government will not sit on our hands and let things get worse. These 3,000 new staff will be critical to reducing call waiting times, speeding up claim payments and giving Australians back some time in their busy lives. Importantly, these extra resources are an addition to the 850 emergency response staff already provided for in the current budget that have already been called on to support the Queensland bushfire response. The former Liberal and National government oversaw
an
unconstrained and out of control.
Senator Polly, first supplementary.
Yes, Minister, it's a shame those opposite didn't learn anything from that debacle. Can the Minister inform the Senate? Can the Minister inform the Senate what these 3,000 new recruits will be doing and where these new jobs will be located?
Thank you, Senator Polly. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Polly for her first supplementary question. Well, yes, I can. Thank you, Senator Polly. And I'm pleased to announce that the 800 people have already begun the onboarding process for the 3,000 new frontline and service delivery roles at Service Australia. These 3,000 new recruits will work in capital cities as well as in regional centres. This includes approximately 370 who will be employed in my home state in Adelaide and 90 in Senator's home state of Tasmania, of course. By the end of the month, it is expected that 250 new recruits will be on board between metropolitan and regional New South Wales, with a further 650 to join them as part of this new staffing investment. I'm very proud to announce that all of these new jobs are ongoing APS roles.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Polly, second supplementary.
President, how does this crucial investment of 3,000 new recruits in Services Australia compare to the approach taken by the former Liberal government over the past decade?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Polly for her second supplementary question. This investment is in sharp contrast to that of the former Coalition government, who for a decade decimated Services Australia's frontline, cutting 3,800 frontline staff to make way for the malicious, illegal, profit-making programs like robo-debt. One of the key recommendations of the Royal Commission into robo-debt outlined what the government should facilitate. And they said easy and efficient engagement options of online, in-person and telephone communications, which is sensitive to the particular circumstances of the customer cohort. And that's exactly what this injection of resources does, Senator Polly. It returns humans to the government services and puts an end to the cruel practices of the former government.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Tyrrell.
Thank you, thank you, President. My question is for the Minister representing the Minister for Social Services, Senator Farrell. Australians are living through a cost of living crisis, and the rate rise on Tuesday is rubbing salt in the wound. The people who are doing it the toughest are people on Centrelink payments. They're making difficult decisions about whether to put food on the table, whether to put petrol in the car, to fulfil their mutual obligations, or whether to go to the doctor to check out their persistent cough. This financial year, as a result of indexation, a single renter on JobSeeker will lose the equivalent of 2 weeks of payments to income tax. This is because their annual income will now be above the tax-free threshold. Minister, why is the government giving payments to the poorest Australians on one hand and taking those payments on the other?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Tyrrell, for that question. Well, as I've made the point on numerous occasions during the course of this week and before that, we do understand that many Australians are doing it tough with a combination of high inflation, the fact that the Reserve Bank is pushing up the interest rates in this country. There is a mechanism for dealing with all of these issues, and you might have noticed from my previous answer the steps that this government is trying to take to ensure that those people who have an entitlement to something from Centrelink are able to actually go and see a person, talk to a person, discuss their particular circumstances. This government doesn't want to make things worse for any Australian, and all of the things that we've been trying to do to put downward pressure on interest rates and the cost of living are all designed to help the people that you are talking about in these circumstances. We're going to continue to do that, Senator Tyrrell, and we're going to try and provide assistance, particularly to those Australians who right now are doing it tough and need it most.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Tyrrell, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, the age pension is exempt from income tax. Why are you exempting pensioners from the tax-free threshold, but not the poorest people in the country, the people on JobSeeker?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
Well, there's a range of tax policies in this country, and of course, you've highlighted one in particular. We don't have any plans, I can tell you, to tax the age pension. Of course, if that's an implication in your question, we continue to try and provide assistance to those Australians who are most in need. This is a caring and compassionate government, led by a caring and compassionate Prime Minister. We are doing our best to repair the damage that was done by the former government in a whole range of these areas, and we'll continue to do that, Senator Tyrrell.
Senator Tyrrell, second supplementary.
I love that answer. Thank you so much, Senator Farrell. Will the government commit here and now, at the worst point of the cost of living crisis to date, to exempting people on JobSeeker from paying income tax on their government payments, or reassessing the current situation with the JobSeeker payments?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Farrell.
Just to be clear about your question, Senator, you're asking me, is the government doing that, or is the government going to continue, or is the government going to consider doing that? Is that your question?
Senator Tyrrell, perhaps if you just repeat your question, because it wasn't that long.
What Thank I'm you. Asking is, will the government commit here and now to exempt people on JobSeeker from paying income tax on their government payments?
Minister Farrell.
As much as I'd like to make government announcements in question time in the Senate, I should point out that I'm not the minister in this area. We've got a terrific minister, I might add, in South this. Well, a matter of fact, she is South Australian, Amanda Rishworth, I don't think I've come across a more compassionate and concerned minister in this. Yeah, no, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Outside of the Senate.
All right. Minister Rishworth will do everything that she can to assist the people in the circumstances that you're talking about. But it's not appropriate for me to make announcements in her portfolio, and I would be happy to ensure that you can go and meet with Minister Rishworth.
Thank
and
you, Minister.
Put directly
time
to
for
her
answering
what
has
you'd
expired.
Like to...
Senator Birmingham.
And my question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Farrell. I ask the Minister, is it correct that newly released analysis of OECD data indicates that, and I quote from the Australian Financial Review, Australian households have suffered the largest fall in living standards of any advanced economy over the past year as a result of high inflation, increasing mortgage repayments, and the effects of bracket creep on income tax?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Birmingham for his question. I personally haven't seen those reports, but can I say this, and I've said it many times this week, that it's the objective of the Albanese government to ensure that the sorts of issues that you've just referred to are dealt with in a competent, sensible and compassionate way, so that this government puts downward pressure on all of those things that Australians are currently finding difficulty with. And I've referred on so many occasions, Senator Birmingham, on the sorts of things that this government is doing. Our first objective, of course, was to produce a surplus, $20 billion surplus, and of course that does have that downward pressure on interest rates. In addition to that, we've been providing a range of benefits to the Australian people to keep that downward pressure on, things like childcare, things like rebates on your electricity, and in the same process. And I don't know. Again, I don't know if this particular article refers to it. But of course, we have created 561,000 jobs in the time that we've been in government.
Minister,
all of those.
Minister
all
Farrell,
of those.
Please resume your seat, Senator Birmingham.
President, on direct relevance, and the Minister acknowledged at the start of the question that he, perhaps unsurprisingly for the Minister, didn't know and wasn't aware of the OECD analysis. But having waffled on from the couple of minutes after giving that indication, he could, at least to be directly relevant and helpful to the Senate, take on notice for the government its response to this and the particular question about whether it is correct that the OECD analysis shows Australia is the worst performing advanced economy for the impact on household incomes.
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Wall.
Thank you. On the point of order of relevance, I would say to you, President, perhaps it's only the Liberal opposition that might suggest an answer about jobs is not relevant to living standards, right. But we on the other side recognise that it is.
In response to your order, in response to the point of order, obviously I can't direct the minister as to how to answer the question or whether or not he takes it on notice, but the minister is being relevant, and as you pointed out, he did acknowledge he wasn't aware of the article in the first part of your question. Minister, please continue.
Thank you, President. I was talking about jobs, and as Minister Wong said, I would have thought that was quite a crucial response to the issues that you have raised, and you're obviously always in a much better position than if you've got a
Thank
job.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Birmingham, first supplementary.
Thanks, President. Supplementary to the Minister representing the Treasurer. Given the OECD analysis shows Australian households as being the worst off amongst advanced economies, what is the Albanese Labor government's analysis of how much higher inflation, higher interest rates and increased tax from bracket creep has eroded the disposable incomes of Australians over the last year.
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Birmingham for his first supplementary question. Well, we know Australians are doing it tough right at the moment. We understand that, and we are taking steps to try and address those issues. And if I've said it once, I've said it a lot of times this week, that we are trying to deal with these issues and put downward pressure on inflation to make life easier for ordinary Australians. And it's the things that you voted against that we have managed to get into legislation that are the sorts of things that ordinary Australians are benefiting from right this moment, whether it might
be cheaper
childcare, push down on electricity bill release,
increase... the time for answering has expired. Before I call Senator Birmingham, I will remind those senators, particularly on my left, that interjections across the chamber are disorderly. Minister Birmingham, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Second supplementary to the Minister representing the Treasurer. The striking thing about this analysis is it shows Australian households as being worse off than any other advanced economies. So given this OECD data and the analysis of it, why have the disposable incomes of Australian households been hit so much harder over the last year under the Albanese Labor government than those of all of the other advanced economies? Why are Australians worse off compared with the rest of the world under you?
Thank you, Senator Birmingham. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Birmingham for his second supplementary question. Well, look, I simply don't accept the premise of your question. Listen to some... Just because it's a...
Everything we did.
Listen to some of the facts.
Minister Farrell, inflation. Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Order. 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 Minister Farrell, please continue.
Thank you, President. Inflation peaked in this country. Inflation peaked lower and later than most of the G7 nations that you're referring to. You ask me the questions,
Minister
and then you
Farrell,
interrupt me when I'm giving you the answers.
Minister
and the
Farrell,
reason for that
Minister
is
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. I've just called the Senate to order, and the minute the minister got to his feet, the disorder started again. Please listen in silence. Minister, please continue.
Thank you, President. Thank you for that protection. Given inflation peaked later in Australia, its moderation is only slightly behind. Inflation is moderating, but it will remain higher than we'd like for longer than we like. Now, we've said that. Our economic plan is engineered to ease pressure.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Vann.
My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Water, Minister Wong. Minister, you'll recall the floods of 2022-2023, where vast amounts of water travelled down both the Murray and the Darling system through South Australia and out to sea. Does the Minister know how much water flowed through the system during those flood times? And except if that may need to be taken on notice.
Thank you, Senator Vann. Minister Wong.
Yes, I am aware, as any I think all Australians are, of the floods which occurred in the period to which you refer, and of the effect on river communities, including in South Australia, as Senator Rustin would attest to, as a consequence of those floods. What I would also say, like many other South Australians, did go down to near the Murray mouth, and there was a lot of water coming through, a lot of pollution, obviously, and a lot of topsoil, and it was a really difficult time, I think, for people both downstream and upstream as a consequence
of those floods. I think Senator Watt would be able to speak more broadly about the flood response from the Commonwealth Government. Certainly it was a very difficult time for many communities. That doesn't obviate the policy point, however, which is we know that the Murray-Darling Basin Plan hasn't been delivered by those opposite, and we know over 10 years that the divisions which are now on display in the coalition as between the National Party and some parts of the Liberal Party, particularly those from South Australia, meant that that plan was not delivered, and we now have those opposite intending intent upon wrecking a plan that they undermine whilst in government. That's the hard reality. What I also would say, it's so predictable, isn't it? what I would also say, Senator Van, to you is that the fact that there was a lot of water as a consequence of flooding doesn't obviate the broader policy problem, which is how do we deal with over-allocation and sustainability, environmental flows, and as well as economic sustainability.
Thank you,
and all of these
Wong.
Matters are matters the government
seized
on. The time
for answering has expired. Senator Van, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, can you tell us what the current state of the Lower Lakes is, please?
Thank you, Senator Van. Minister Wong.
Senator Rustin has suggested an answer to that, but I think it's probably a little bit too flippant for me to use. On this we're aligned, I think. I think on this we're aligned. So, look, I would say to you, Senator Van, and I'm aware that some from other states have very strong views that are different to mine and different to the government's on this. When we look at the Murray-Darling Basin Plan...
Senator Mackenzie.
When we look at the Murray-Darling Plan, our focus is the health of the whole river system. Our focus is the health of the whole river system. And I've been Water Minister previously. I know the argument that some of the upstream communities and some lobbyists have about the Lower Lakes. My view is we need to look at the sustainability of the whole system, and that is what the plan seeks to do.
Senator Van, second supplementary.
Thank you, Minister, and I agree, though. It's the whole system that needs to be looked after. Given that there, as I said in my two-minute statement earlier today, that the Murray is suffering from overflow and too much water running through it, isn't there a better way than buybacks, which are going to kill farming communities, and getting more water down the Darling into the Murray and into South Australia, rather than continuing to damage the Murray River?
Thank you, Senator Van. Minister Wong.
Senator Van, the fact that we have extraordinary flooding does not, in one season, does not obviate the need to implement the plan. It doesn't work. And I would just make the point that in 9 years, those opposite
Order.
Who are committed to delivering 450 gigalitres with their implementation or non-implementation of the plan delivered two out of 450. That is
Order,
that
Senator
is that Davey. Is the reality of what we are dealing with. Look, Senator Davey, I think this is Senator Van's question. I'm happy to take your question again from you on water. But my point is that if 450 gigs was supposed to be delivered and two is delivered, then obviously we have to look at different ways. So we have outlined how we will approach that. The minister has said we need more time to deliver the water based on the expert advice. We need more options to deliver the remaining water, including efficiency, water efficiency infrastructure projects and voluntary water buybacks, voluntary water purchase. We want more funding to support
you,
communities where those buybacks have impacts.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired.
Senator Sheldon. Senator Pratt.
Oh, I have different on my sheet. Senator Pratt.
Thank you. President, my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. The Albanese government has made it clear that its number one priority is addressing inflation and cost of living pressures. With a targeted and comprehensive $23 billion 10-point plan to help address cost of living pressures in our economy. Can the minister please explain how this relief has been calibrated in a way so as to not aggravate inflation? And how is the government paving the way for future economic growth?
Senator Wong.
Thank you to Senator Pratt, and thank you for a question on cost of living. And what I would have said if the opposition had asked me some of their questions, I would have said, well, you might need academic analyses and definitions, but we on this side do understand that Australians are doing it tough. And unlike you, we are delivering $23 billion of cost of living relief to Australians. And whenever they come in here, colleagues, and bleat about cost of living, let's remember they opposed cheaper energy, they opposed cheaper medicine, they opposed more Medicare bulk building, they opposed fee-free TAFE, they opposed more housing for Australians, and the expansion of paid parental leave, and they opposed getting wages moving again. So whenever you come in here and talk to us about cost of living,
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Order. Order. Senator McGrath, I have just called the chamber to order. That includes you. Order across the chamber. Interjections across the chamber are disorderly. Please listen in silence. I'll call the minister back to continue her answer.
So let's remember those opposite when it comes to cheaper medicine. Six times you voted to prevent Australians getting cheaper medicine. So every time you come in here and talk about cost of living, we're going to remind you six times you voted against cheaper medicine. And what about cheaper childcare? Senator Hume said this was not a policy that you would introduce, so you don't want
Senator
cheaper
Dunham.
Childcare. You don't want cheaper childcare. And let's remember also—
Minister Wong, sorry. Please resume your seat. Senator Henderson.
President, a point of order, I would ask that you direct the minister to direct her comments through the chair. Thank you. She keeps on saying you.
Senator Henderson, the minister is directing her comments through the chair. Order. 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 What I would also call for is silence across the chamber. Minister Wong, please continue.
I'm very happy to address you directly, President, and I understand why they feel sensitive. I understand why they feel sensitive. While they don't want the word you, they don't want to take responsibility for being the party of higher energy prices. They don't want to take responsibility for being the party that voted against energy price relief. They don't want to take responsibility, President, of being the party that votes against cheaper medicines. No, they just want to come in here and make political points. They have no plan when it comes to cost of living.
Thank you, Minister Wong. Thank you, Minister Wong. Order. Order. Senator McKenzie, you always have to have the last word, seriously. Order across the chamber. Senator Pratt, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Can the minister please provide the Senate an update on the government's recent initiatives to further support Australian households, particularly in health and housing?
Minister Wong.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Well, this month, additional cost of living relief, again opposed by those opposite, is rolling out, which will help Australians, particularly in health and housing. And last week, on 1st of November, the bulk building incentive was tripled. Under this Labor government, which supports Medicare, unlike those opposite, the bulk building incentive was tripled, making it easier for 11 million young and low-income Australians to see a GP without out-of-pocket costs. That is what this government is working to deliver in a tough environment for Australian families, delivering more assistance so more people can see a doctor without out-of-pocket costs, something only, President, that a Labor government will deliver, because we know what the Coalition have always thought about Medicare.
Thank you. Order. Order. Seriously, this is really, really disrespectful. Senator Pratt, second supplementary.
President, can the minister please detail the specific measures the Albanese government has implemented to help Australians afford essentials over this difficult inflationary time? And what impact is that support having on people who need it most?
Minister Watt. Minister Watt, sorry.
Thank you, President. Well, let me list the ways in which this government is working to help with the cost of living, because we understand how difficult life is for so many Australians, and our responsibility to deliver practical assistance. $23 billion assistance in cost of living relief to Australians. Electricity bill relief, so famously opposed by every single one of those. The interjections might be loud, but the truth is they voted against energy price relief. Cheaper childcare, also opposed. Increased rental assistance, more Medicare bulk billing, cheaper medicines, opposed on at least six occasions, boosting of income support payments, fee-free TAFE, building more affordable homes, expanding paid parental leave and getting wages moving again. And this government has delivered the first budget surplus in 15 years. Talk about working to put downward pressure on inflation.
That's what we're doing. The time for responding has expired. Senator Ruston.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Minister for Health, Senator Farrell. Last week, the government's bulk billing measure came into effect, as bulk billing rates have plummeted every single month since you have been in government, to the lowest levels since 2013. This week it was reported by Dr. Gihan Demel, a member of the Monash Health GP Advisory Committee, who has written to the Health Minister about the measure, saying, and I will quote the doctor, "It is essential to recognise that the vast majority of the population will not directly benefit from this." Minister, how many Australians does the government believe will directly benefit from this measure, and not the number who will be eligible?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Ruston for her question. You can't automatically or immediately fix the problems that we inherited from your government, particularly from your time in this portfolio, Senator Ruston. But we've started.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Ruston.
I thought the minister might like to correct that. I have never held the health portfolio.
It's not a point of order, Senator Ruston. Minister, please continue.
We can't overnight, Senator Ruston, fix the problems that your government caused after 9 years of neglect of Medicare. But what we are doing is starting that process of rebuilding the Medicare system, but in particular the bulk billing system. And I reject the implication in your question that ordinary Australians are not benefiting by these changes, because the reality is Senator Ruston, that ordinary Australians will benefit by what we're doing.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Ruston.
Point of order on relevance.
Senator Watt.
It was quite a simple question, Chair, and that was the number of people who will benefit from this measure, not the number of people who are eligible, the number of people who will benefit.
Thank you, Senator Ruston. There was also a quote, and you referenced 13 years, and you did reference Medicare bulk billing, which the minister is entitled to address. Thank you, Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. And the centrepiece of our budget and the recent incentives that we've introduced recently was the tripling of the bulk billing incentive, the largest increase in the incentive in the 40-year history of Medicare. We are going to do what you failed to do. We're going to rebuild this system. Unfortunately, if we could click our fingers and fix the system overnight, we would. We can't. But this is going to take some time, because you and your government did so much damage for so long to this system. We are going to fix it.
Senator Ruston, first supplementary.
Thank you very much. Minister, what is the average cost to Australians right now for a standard GP consult? What is the Medicare rebate of that consult? And what is the average out-of-pocket expense to an Australian?
I do.
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President. What we do know about your legacy portfolio as a government, former government, is that you neglected the primary care and froze the Medicare rebate for 6 years. So whatever the figures might be at the present point of time, they're coming off the fact that you froze the Medicare rebate for 6 years.
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin.
A point of order on misleading the Senate. It was not the coalition Senator Rustin, government that, is that not froze a point the of Medicare. Order.
Thank you very much. Minister, please continue.
So you froze the
Minister Farrell, please resume your seat. Senator Rustin.
Chair, I would ask you to draw the Minister's attention to the fact that he is misleading the Senate.
Senator Rustin, that's exactly the same point you just jumped on. I said it was not a point of order. It's a debating point. I invite you to make a contribution later. Minister Farrell.
I'll make another point then. About your record in this space, if you don't like that point. The former government neglected primary care and misled...
Sorry, Minister, please resume your seat.
Point of order, Chair. He's not answering the question. Direct relevance. The cost of seeing a doctor has gone from $80 to $100.
Senator Rennick, thank you. The minister question went to rebates and the minister is being relevant. Minister, please continue.
President, the other side just love asking me questions and then answering themselves. I do wonder if they know the answer already.
The time has expired. Senator Rustin, second supplementary.
Despite the rising cost of visiting a GP, plummeting bulk billing, your government has refused to state that the aim of this measure, that is the tripling of bulk billing, is to increase the rate of bulk billing by GP appointments in Australia. Minister, can you guarantee that the rate of bulk billed GP appointments will increase as a result of the measure that has been introduced on the 1st of November, and by how many?
Thank you, Senator Rustin. Minister Wong, were you seeking? Yeah. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Senator Rustin for her second supplementary question. Yes.
Minister Wong?
I ask that further questions be placed on notice.